from San Francisco, California, with your host, Ben Kaspik. This is Locked On Giants Baseball. Welcome back to Locked On Giants Baseball, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. My name is Ben Kaspik, and I'm thrilled to be with you again today. On this show, we provide daily episodes, Monday through Friday, approximately 15 minutes in length, talking about the San Francisco Giants in a way that's data-driven and rational, but also insightful and easily digestible, easy for everyone to understand. To get this show every day, you need to hit that subscribe button if you haven't done so already. You can find us on the brand new podcast app Himalaya or Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, and Spotify. Then, when you're driving to work, from work, or around town, all you have to do is tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Giants Baseball, and we'll be right there with you for the drive. For the latest takes on NBA free agency, follow all of the Locked On Podcast Network hosts on one Twitter feed, at LockedOnNBAnet. It's an awesome way to get all of the latest opinions from the local experts during NBA free agency on Twitter, at LockedOnNBAnet. Before we get going on today's show, I just want to join the rest of the baseball community in sending my deepest sympathies and condolences to the family and friends of Tyler Skaggs, a left-handed pitcher on the Angels who died yesterday at the age of 27 in his hotel room in Texas. And it's just a very, very sad time in baseball as we mourn the much too soon death of Tyler Skaggs. Coming up on today's show, we get to talk about this big 13-2 win by the Giants over the Padres last night in San Diego. I thought their lineup was intriguing. It's been building for a while now. They have some pieces to combat opposing starting pitchers, whether the pitcher is left-handed or right-handed. The Giants are running out a different-looking lineup against each. Austin Slater called up ahead of this game with Derek Rodriguez being optioned. We'll get into that. We'll talk about Jeff Samardzija's 8-inning, 2-run start. But first, as always, their record with the win, the Giants improved to 37-47. So they can't really gain any traction. They've been stuck at 10 games under 500 or so for a while. They're 19 games back in the National League West. The Dodgers are just having another great year. They're 57-29. The Giants' run differential improved to only minus 78, which, sound the alarms, is no longer worst in the National League. The Marlins have taken over as the team with the worst run differential in the NL at minus 80. But I think the real standout thing when looking at their record, run differential, etc., is the fact that they were 22-34 on May 31st with a minus 89 run differential. That means that since that time, since June 1st, the Giants have gone 15-13 with a plus 11 run differential. So they've certainly been playing much better than they did in April and May. A lot of that has to do with the fact that just some people were not going to continue to be as bad as they were early on in the season. So just some expected regression to the mean there. But it also has to do with some of the acquisitions that were made and allowing guys like Tyler Austin to thrive against lefties, Alex Dickerson coming in and doing what he does against righties, the bullpen continuing to be strong, Will Smith having his all-star season, Sean Anderson adding some stability to the rotation. Kevin Pillar has gone off the last few weeks, and it continued yesterday. Basically, in platoon situations, the Giants' offense actually has some intriguing pieces for the first time in a while. This is a team that has historically shot themselves in the foot game after game by exposing guys who should be platooned against same-handed pitchers. Denard Span comes to mind. He was someone who just consistently was dreadful against left-handed pitching, but every time there was a lefty on the mound, they would still just hit him leadoff, and he would just bat against a bunch of lefties and consistently do very poorly. And then late in the game, the Giants were always taken advantage of when the opponent could easily combat their lineup by just matching up with whoever they wanted against whoever was in the Giants lineup. Now, how do you combat that? A, you don't start Denard Span when there's a lefty on the mound, and then B, when, you know, you need to have a better bench so that you can have your lineup against lefties, and then when the team, you know, as a result, later in the game goes to a righty, you have lefties on the bench who you can then use in pinch hitting situations. So not to dwell on Denard Span, he's long gone with the Giants, but finally, they have a legitimate group of players who can thrive in this type of situation. I'm not saying they have like okay, they're done. They're a contender now, not even close. But in Tyler Austin, Alex Dickerson, Steven Vogt, Pablo Sandoval, and others, they just have some guys who offer some actual intrigue when used correctly. So to me, that was the case last night when the lineup against a left-handed starting pitcher for the Padres went Donovan Solano, Brandon Belt, Tyler Austin, Buster Posey, Evan Longoria, Kevin Pillar, Austin Slater, Joe Panik. So the guys who are in there who are liable to get platooned and who have been getting platooned, Donovan Solano, Tyler Austin, Evan Longoria to a degree, and Austin Slater. We'll talk more about Slater later on in the show, but the fact is the Giants were tough on the lefty starter with this lineup. Tyler Austin drew two walks in the game and ended up coming up in a huge situation with the bases loaded and no outs against a lefty, and it's just a dangerous situation for the Padres right there. You've got a lefty on the mound, you've got Tyler Austin at the plate, and he just historically in his career has done very well against left-handed pitching. He does strike out a lot still against them, over 30% of the time, but he also has tremendous power and good plate discipline. So you're going to have to throw him a strike, and if you throw him a strike, he's very much a power threat up there against a lefty, even against a righty, but he just gets a hit way less often against a righty. But let's say the Padres wanted to not have to deal with Tyler Austin against a lefty there, and they go to a righty reliever. Well, the Giants have Alex Dickerson on the bench, who can pinch hit and take over in left field and hit against the righty with the bases loaded and no outs. So suddenly, the Giants had an advantage in that situation where in years past, they've just had their set lineup and whoever is on the mound, it doesn't matter, the opponent can just have the matchup that they desire. But not so yesterday, and this has everything to do with the team that Farhan Zaidi has put together thus far, and it's only going to continue to follow this mold, and the players, you know, more likely than not, are going to become even better. But the thing about Austin, the thing about Dickerson, specifically those two, you know, they're controllable for multiple seasons after 2019. So they, you know, those two combined have tremendous strengths against their respective opposite-handedness of pitcher. So together, that forms a legitimate position, and you kind of have left field taken care of there. Both have some risk. They're not like totally fully established players, and we're talking about relatively small samples for both of them in their careers. But from what I've seen, they've just continued their career track records doing what they do best in those platoon situations. So the Giants jumped out to a big lead, the big hit coming from Tyler Austin there. Evan Longoria had a big double against the lefty. Austin Slater hit a big two-out triple that scored Longoria that made it 2-0. Posey had a couple more hits in this game. He's had multiple hit games in, I think, three of the last four games. So just a lot of positives. And so the Giants jumped out to this big lead, and then all of a sudden the Padres went to their righty reliever to relieve the lefty starter who really struggled. And then by that point, you don't even need to pinch hit with all your lefties when there's the righty on the mound. You can give them a day off because you've built a comfortable lead. And it would kind of not make sense to use all your lefties against the righty reliever when you're up 6 or 7 to nothing. Because then if the Padres do come back in the game, all of a sudden they now can use a lefty reliever to expose all of the lefties you've brought into the game. So it's best to save them until a more high leverage situation comes up. And it's not a bad thing at all that it's not a high leverage situation because you built a gigantic lead. We see this all the time with the Dodgers. So it functions as an off day because you built such a big lead and you won the game easily. So this is how modern teams work, and it gives everybody ample rest. You're able to filter in everyone on your team and let everybody get, you know, share the load of the season. Gone are the days where all 9 guys in your lineup are going to play 162 games ideally. If you have Mike Trout, you're not platooning him. If you have Aaron Judge, you're not platooning him. But if you're talking about Donovan Solano and Joe Panik, Tyler Austin, who really has some strikeout woes against righties, like these guys are liable to get platooned, and it makes sense that they're doing it. So there's a lot more to get into with this game. Let's talk briefly about Austin Slater being called up. He was called up and Derek Rodriguez was optioned to AAA. Rodriguez has really struggled this season, and in relief, it was really no better. He gave up multiple runs in his last outing. So the Giants are here in San Diego, and the Padres will start 3 left-handed starting pitchers in this series, and so it makes sense to bring up Austin Slater as a guy who can bat against the lefties when you don't want to necessarily expose Mike Yastrzemski or Alex Dickerson all 3 games. So platoons are the future, like them or not, and they work. So, I mean, if the games are like they went last night, I think Giants fans will take a platoon. But the thing about Slater is that he was in the minors because he needed to prove that he could stop hitting so many ground balls, essentially. Kind of the mainstream analysis is that he wasn't hitting for enough power, and that's a byproduct of the fact that he was hitting the ball on the ground way too often. So from 2017 to 2018, which were the first 2 years of Slater's major league career, he hit like 350-something times. So if we set the minimum to 350, no one in baseball had a higher rate of ground balls than Austin Slater. It was well over 60%. Nobody in baseball had a higher ground ball to fly ball ratio. It was more than 3 ground balls for every fly ball for Austin Slater. So in this day and age of shifting and so many home runs across baseball, you just really are going to have a hard time being successful if you're consistently hitting ground balls more than any other player in baseball. So it totally made sense that they told him to rework his swing to add more loft. He's a good contact hitter, so if he can make really consistent contact but elevate the ball, then you actually have some tools of an interesting player. But without that, then you just have a guy who hits way too many balls on the ground. And so his swing certainly looks different, and last night it showed up in a big way. He hit an opposite field triple in the air, and he hit a home run, a deep home run to left field, obviously, in the air as well. He also hit a missile up the middle that hit off the pitcher's foot and ricocheted to first base where he was tagged out. But I think there's been some talk about how Farhan Zaidi just decided that Austin Slater wasn't good, and that's why he was giving all these other guys an opportunity first. But I think it's more likely the case that they needed to see that he legitimately had fixed this issue he had about hitting too many ground balls. He's never been that high of a ground ball rate guy in the minors, but then in the major leagues, he just can't stop hitting the ball on the ground, at least before 2019. So that remains to be seen if he can elevate consistently. But he has been torching lefties in the minors, so that very well could be his role here with the big league club. Is not an everyday guy, but a guy who can just come in against lefties and make starts for you. So a great night for him. Good to see. Coming up in the next half of the show, we'll talk about Jeff Samardzija's outing. He went 8 innings in this game, the longest start by a Giants starting pitcher this year. So that's all coming up next, but first... Okay, so as promised, we'll continue to talk about this game a little bit. Jeff Samardzija with a really good outing for him, and we'll preview the upcoming game tonight against the Padres. So yeah, Jeff Samardzija pitched 8 innings, allowed 2 runs, 6 strikeouts, 2 walks, no home runs, 5 hits. He threw 114 pitches, so this is a rare sight in modern baseball, but it makes all the sense in the world. Samardzija wants to go deep into games. The Giants had a huge lead. Why not let him keep pitching, save the bullpen, see what he can do if you just keep extending him? So he has to be thrilled with that outing. It was a very good outing and a nice rebound. He was really scuffling the last several starts. One thing to note, though, is that when Fernando Tatis Jr. scored on a pop-up from third base tagging up, Jeff Samardzija was really, really upset by this. He was like bright red, shaking his head, muttering to himself, yelling, clearly visibly upset. And if I had to guess, he's upset that Austin Slater didn't call off Joe Panic, because Slater would have had his momentum coming in towards home plate, whereas Joe Panic was backpedaling. And it cost Samardzija a run. And so the fact is, the score was 7-0 when that run scored. It made it 7-1. And so the fact that Jeff Samardzija is beside himself with rage about giving up one run in a 7-0 game, I think tells you a lot about Jeff Samardzija as a competitor. A, obviously he wants to win, but I think he's just furious that a run has been added to his earned run average. And to me, that's kind of a little bit selfish, and you're disrespecting your own teammates by showing them up like that. Tatis Jr. is an exciting player. He's done that before this season, scoring on a pop-up. And to me, I talk about aggressive base running, trying to score all the time on the show. And that was the perfect example of it right there. If you have speed, the second baseman's backpedaling, take a risk there. If you have like a 30% chance that you might be safe, it's probably worth going. So Tatis went, panic through, throw was late. Samardzija was fuming even after having to get another out in the inning. Coming into the dugout, he was still fuming. So just a little bit embarrassing, to be honest, that he was so upset about giving up a run in a 7-0 game. All told on the season now, Samardzija lowered his ERA to 4.32. The peripherals are still up there, 4.54 fielding independent pitching, 4.98 expected fielding independent pitching. Those numbers are all roughly league average, a little bit worse than league average. So it looks like that's who he is at this point. But, you know, if you're hovering close to the league average, you actually have some value. It's not like below average means you're just a totally worthless player. The issue with Samardzija is that, you know, he's 34. He's signed for another year at $18 million. Probably not going to be a part of the long term here in San Francisco. So really, they're just kind of running the clock out with Jeff Samardzija. If they could ever get anything in return for him in a trade, they certainly would do so. But he's really going to have to regain some value. Last night was a step in the right direction for him. Coming up tonight, the Giants will be back in San Diego for another game against the Padres. Tyler Beede on the mound for the Giants. Matt Strom, another left-handed pitcher, on the mound for the Padres. So we'll probably see a very similar lineup. We will be back with another episode tomorrow talking about tonight's game. Remember, to get the show every single weekday, you need to hit that subscribe button if you haven't done so already. You can find us on the brand new podcast app Himalaya or Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, and Spotify. We provide new episodes Monday through Friday, approximately 15 minutes in length, talking about the San Francisco Giants in a way that's data-driven and rational, but also insightful and easily digestible, easy for everyone to understand. Once again, my name is Ben Caspick. You can follow me on Twitter, @Cove_cast. Please consider leaving us a review, rating the show, and telling your friends and family to check us out. I cannot wait to be with you again tomorrow, and until then, we'll see you next time.